Hey, all you movie buffs out there, I'm David Gaddy.
And I'm Jeremiah Orr.
Together we are
the Theonauts. And you're listening to Finding Christ in Cinema with your hosts, Michael and Brendan.
Right here at GCTNetwork.com, your Great Commission transmission.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we trade life on the carrot farm for big city living as we look for Christian themes in Zootopia. What heals Nick's brokenness? How is Judy Hopps the light of the world? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 105. I'm Michael.
And I'm Mr. Taylor.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
Is your Great Commission transmission.
Well, hello, Mr. Taylor. It is nice to meet you, sir.
Hello, children.
Oh! A little foreshadowing for later on in the show?
Oh, yeah, a little well-mannered frivolity, yes.
Coming up later on in the show. But, Brendan, what did we talk about last week?
Oh, last week.
Did you recover?
I did. First of all, we finished up our...
For now.
I think J.K. Rowling is
this pretty... should have been a supplemental episode.
Anyway.
Okay.
What we did last week was the sequel and the end all. It all ended with this film. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
The Great Catharsis.
Yeah.
Wow. Did you have anything that you needed to add to it? Addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing?
Well, actually, I did. I like many other, several other... millions of other Harry Potter fans just was not quite content with the end. Because why? Just because it left me wanting more. And which is a good, that is not a bad thing on J.K. Rowling's part. That is a good thing.
Good.
And unfortunately, at the time, there just was not any more.
Is there now?
Now there is.
There is?
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Oh, with Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I have in the show notes, however, is a link to a YouTube channel, to a YouTube video of the last days on the set of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
And what's that like? Tearjerker?
Yes.
Again?
Yes, because... But this one more
I'm
so...
I'm getting dehydrated from all this Harry Potter.
Yeah, we got water around here.
Yeah.
This one just really... It helps me out because I see the actors speaking about their characters, like Helena Bonham Carter speaks briefly. No, it's really just like a three-minute video, so there's not a lot of time for, you know, debriefing and denouement. As some might say.
But I would never say such a thing.
You just seeing the actors, you definitely see Daniel, Emma, and Rupert all have a brief little moment to check themselves and their characters. So it's very nice. And since we just finished it, I needed it to have my own little catharsis.
Awesome.
So it's a link in the show notes. There you go.
And the link to the show notes will be at the bottom of the blog post on this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema. But if you didn't hear us talk about Deathly Hallows Part 2 and the grand culmination of all things Harry Potter and his story arc, get over to ChristInCinema.com, and that is episode number 104 of Finding Christ in Cinema. Well, with all of the tears and all the emotions that were in play last episode, are you ready for something a little bit lighter? Some lighter fare?
I'm ready for something a whole lot lighter.
A little, like... cuddly and fuzzy and things like that.
Yeah.
What are we going to talk about today, Brendan?
Oh, the very controversial film, Zootopia.
You ready to go to the theater?
Oh, yes, sir.
Here we go.
In the world of Zootopia, humans never happened, which makes Zootopia a modern, civilized world that is entirely animal. That is an animal. Animals in Zootopia are anthropomorphic. That is just a big fancy word that means they walk around on 2 feet. They do not go to work nude. Thank you. Almost. That's got it. And they use technology. Okay, there are mammals from all over the globe in Zootopia. Large and small, fast and slow. But the truth is, Zootopia isn't perfect. And just like our world, not everyone gets along. Especially natural enemies. Which can create some issues. But nature always gives animals special skills to survive, and while one may have amazing night vision, another may have incredible hearing. And an air-powered elephant tranquilizer. So now you know. Zootopia. Like nothing you've seen before.
Oh, how precious.
Yeah,
hey.
I opted to play one of the teaser trailers because I think that gave some great information that we didn't get out of the movie itself.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't know that there were no humans, and you know,
well, of course,
things such as that. That was a fun teaser there.
Now, just to clear the air, I would like to, Michael. You know this,
yes,
and I know this, and I'm sure our listeners hear this.
I do know it.
About to find out.
Okay,
the word anthropomorphic does not necessarily mean walks on two legs.
No, but it can It includes that. Yeah.
The word I assume that was Mr. Nicholas P. Wilde speaking.
Yes, or Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman.
One of the two.
Who is now FCC's very own.
Yes, it's about time.
But the word he's looking for is bipedal.
There you go.
Or bipedal, depends on where you heard it.
And I think that they chose the word anthropomorphic because of the actual meaning of that. Mm-hmm. That's what these animals are. I mean, they're human.
Well, Michael, you know what? That just makes my blood boil. I'm going to write a negative review on IMDb, on Rotten Tomatoes.
I think you should.
And if they don't like it, I will sign a petition
to have them take them off the internet. But yes.
I will not stand for my opinion not counting.
This movie is controversial. Did you know that?
I didn't until I walked into the studio.
Until you walked into the studio and I rained on Brendan's parade. What's the average rating on IMDb?
Oh, let me look that up.
It's what, 8.2?
8.2,
or
yes.
Okay,
yeah.
8.2. And you just look at the user reviews, which I do not recommend anyone doing. In fact, I always say that I'm never going to do it again, and lo and behold, I do it over and over again. I have a weakness. And so you see 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, you know, 7, 10, 10, 10, 8, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Okay, well, let's look at some of the more negative reviews, and you go ahead and click on the most negative, which the filter is hated it, and there's a ton of one-star reviews. Now, Brendan, what I didn't realize, I subjected my family to this film, all the way down to my 4-year-old. I did not realize movie
don't start. I know what
is left-wing propaganda.
Stop.
For the police state. I didn't understand that. I didn't realize that.
Disney's at it again.
Yes.
It started with Fantasia. Now they're at it again.
Corrupting the youth and things such as that. Painfully didactic and political. A lot of things talking about being political. In fact, the first two negative reviews have political in their in the headline there. Going down, a horrendous moral lesson. Lousy script. Horrible soundtrack. Now, I do have a problem with the main song of this film by Gazelle, or whoever plays the part of Gazelle.
Yeah.
I do believe that song teaches a poor message. It could have been, they could have easily saved it if they would have added one word. Because what's the refrain? Try anything.
Yeah.
If they would say, try anything good. You know, now that's a biblical principle.
Well, Michael, you know this film is perfect for those who like simple, unoriginal, and cliched films. Others will see it as it is, a so-so mess.
It's interesting, Brendan, because, again...
Oh, actually, it's uninteresting, as in the plot is uninteresting, and it has a horrendous moral lesson.
Yeah, and it's perfect police state propaganda for the kiddies.
Mm-hmm. Lousy script. Oh, you already read that one. Yeah. All right. Lousy. That's my main beef. And just to alleviate the negative, I think this script is genius. And I will be heartbroken if at least the writing does not win an award. I will be heartbroken.
Initial impressions. Lay on us.
I loved it.
Why?
Mainly because it was written so well. Because of the story flow and even the language flow.
Ah.
See, not a lot of people think about that, but these characters are awesomely created, I think. Awesomely written. It's just the right amount of one-liner setups. And that's like the small scale. And then the big setup for the main catharsis at the end.
Okay, so with that kind of those that's a high praise. So what kind of shout outs would you give?
Oh, definitely I'm just going to say to the team, because Byron Howard, Rich Moore, and Jared Bush directed, created the story, and wrote the screenplay for this film.
So these now, three main guys.
These three main guys, with the help of the story by Jim Reardon, Josie Trinidad, Phil Johnston, and Jennifer Lee.
That's a lot of folks.
That is a lot of folks. And I'm so glad with the product, so I can't accolade them enough.
Okay.
I don't think that's a verb, but that's okay.
What do you think that they were trying to teach us?
Oh, I don't.
With this movie.
Left-wing propaganda.
Police state.
Yeah. Disney's going to take over.
What did you get from it?
I got from it, and it's honestly a simple message. It's that you can't judge somebody on their biology. Because that's a specific word they use in the film.
And do you think that's a message that's needed?
I think so.
Who would most benefit from a message such as that?
Anyone that has biases.
Do you think that would be probably these people that left the one-star reviews?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
We sat... Well, my wife took my youngest...
Oh, how dare she?
Two of my kids to the theaters... And my four-year-old, after the movie was done, she brings her little backpack. She has a little Minnie Mouse backpack wherever she goes, she has that. And after the film was done, she got up, put on her backpack, and was walking out and says, "Thanks, Mom. That was a good movie."
Oh.
It was her first – that was her first theater experience.
Oh, really?
First time that she's been to a
movie theater.
I'm glad
she started
off
high.
Yes. Man. And then, of course, we got it as soon as it came out on Blu-ray and watched it. And I was just, I mean, I already knew a couple of minutes into the film what I was going to talk about on this episode. And I didn't, I must be really dense because I didn't get any propaganda out of this. There were a couple of things that I took umbrage with, but that's okay. I take umbrage with a couple of things in everything, mm-hmm. right? But overall, it was a message that I want my kids to learn. And we have always taught our kids. And I think that this is a very Christian movie.
Oh, I'm glad somebody does.
I think it's an overtly Christian story.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it just goes to illustrate, and maybe we started off the show a little bit too negatively.
A little too sardonic.
Right. And focusing on these negative reviews and the vitriol and whatever else is being spewed about. But it goes back to our special, I don't even know what episode it was, Brendan, but watching movies through Christian lenses.
I think 14?
No. This was a recent... John Wilkerson from the Wired Home School called in.
Yes.
It's in the...
It's in the archives.
Yeah, it's 70s or 80s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right around there.
Maybe 71? 72?
Regardless, go over to ChristianCinema.com and find that special, watching movies through Christian lenses. And the whole impetus of that episode was John was challenging us, to make a case for why we do what we do. And I watch movies through Christian lenses. I watch everything through Christian lenses. I hear everything through Christian filters. That's how I interact with the world. And people that are watching a movie and their responses are all political, That's how they view the world. Everything is political. Everything is political, and I don't think that way. And to be honest with you, I prefer the way that I view things through Christian lenses. Is this a Christian concept? Is this something that Jesus would be teaching? Is this something that his disciples and his apostles would be teaching? Is this concepts that we find that are attributes of our Father, of our Creator? And I think that this film is.
Oh, good. You should write a review.
No. I don't like to express my opinions.
Oh.
So, Brendan, I can we just go ahead and jump right into it?
Well, I do have one more comment.
Okay.
There was a negative comment about unoriginal.
Yes.
And I just can't help
actually,
but think.
Actually, I think it said inoriginal. I don't know what.
Let's not.
Being sarcastic. Snarky.
Hey. You know what's really original to me is the platonic friendship that our two lead characters have.
How so?
Well, they're not a romantic couple.
Right.
And now, normally, I think if there were a Disney movie like this and there was a leading male and a leading female, a lot of inclination would be try to put those together as a romantic couple. That just doesn't happen in this movie. They remain friends. They become partners. They become.
You're making my point.
I'm sorry, Michael. I'm just simply saying that is original.
Yeah.
Because it stands out from the norm, and the norm is the romantic pairing at the end of the movie.
Hey, good point.
So just anyway. So then, segue for your point, Michael.
Well, I would
short, I would, sweet, and simple.
I would title this. You are the salt of Bunnyboro.
Oh.
You are the light of Zootopia. Or I could call it the hairpieceful kingdom.
Okay, that's a stretch.
No, that is awesome, and the kids love it.
No. Oh, the kids and the adults.
Yes, this one lady does.
She gets
tickled when I say the hairpieceful kingdom. See?
There she is. All right.
There are many ways to view this film. We've touched on that. What lenses are you going to be looking through? Is this a political social commentary? Is it another attempt by Disney to brainwash our children with left-wing propaganda?
That's what IMDb says.
I see it as an excellent allegory. It's a morality tale, isn't it? It's a story of how Christians should behave as ambassadors of Jesus. And this is a missional story, and we serve a missional God.
Oh.
So I think how one views this or any other story is how one views the Creator. And let me reiterate that. How you see this movie is how you see God. What do I mean by that? Well, hopefully that'll come out in the wash as we go on. I think how don't misunderstand me, though. This story is filled with Christian archetypal characters or quintessential Christian motifs, many of which are not good examples. And we'll start with Judy's parents. The beginning of the movie, we have little Judy. She's on stage with her friend, and they're, you know, she's telling the story about how these animals evolved to the state that they're in.
It evolved beyond savagery.
Yes. Mm. And lots of blood. There,
lots of blood. Yeah. Blood. Death. Blood.
And then that in and of itself, like we could have focused on that and the difference between walking in darkness and walking in light, an unsaved state and a glorified state where we are being sanctified in Christ.
Well, I thought you were going to go in the direction of the animal sacrifice because this is an occult movie, a propaganda movie.
Now he's getting silly.
Sorry.
All right. And so afterwards...
It's right there at the beginning, the animal sacrifice.
Judy's all excited because she announced that she's going to be a police officer, right? And so her parents wanting to be good, encouraging parents, right?
Oh, they are
so... Ever wonder how your mom and me got to be so darn happy?
Nope.
Well, we gave up on our dreams and we settled. Right, Bond?
Oh, yes, that's right, Stu. We settled hard.
See, that's the beauty of complacency, Jude. If you don't try anything new, you'll never fail.
I like trying, actually.
What your father means, hon, is it's going to be difficult. Impossible, even, for you to become a police officer.
Right. There's never been a bunny cop.
No.
Bunnies don't do that.
Never.
Never.
Oh, then I guess I'll have to be the first one. Because I am going to make the world a better place.
You want to talk about making the world a better place. No better way to do it than becoming a carrot farmer.
Yes. Your dad, me, your 275 brothers and sisters, we're changing the world.
Yeah.
One carrot at a time.
Amen to that. Carrot farming is a noble profession.
Mm-hmm. Just putting the seeds on the ground.
And one with the soil. Just getting covered in dirt.
You get it, honey. I mean, it's great to have dreams.
Yeah, just as long as you don't believe in them too much.
What kind of Christians are they? Let's go back, dissect that sound clip. We are, quote, happy, unquote, because we gave up our dreams and settled.
Oh.
Settled. Definition. Sit or come to rest in a comfortable position.
Now, Michael.
Why? Because that's the beauty of complacency.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Complacency. Definition. A feeling of smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements.
Mm.
Here's what it comes down to. Judy, your mom and I, we will never fail. Why won't they ever fail? How can they never fail? How about this quote? To avoid criticism, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing. And that is not by Aristotle, which the internet has wrongly, falsely attributed to. Let me say that again. To avoid criticism or problems in life, do nothing, say nothing, be nothing.
I'm glad you point that out, Michael, because that's one of the points we at the school try to upkeep is that, not sarcastically, but mistakes prove that you're trying.
But, Brendan, it's great to have dreams.
But
just as long as you don't believe in them.
Oh, okay, Tim Conway.
So what kind of Christians are they? What kind of Christians are they? Do we know any people like that in our lives? I'm asking kind of rhetorically.
Okay, good. Don't ask me for an answer.
So
I'm going to have to look in the mirror.
What type of Christians are they? Exactly. We need to look in the mirror, don't we? One finger's pointed at you, three's right back at me. But Judy makes it, despite the fact that her parents, you know, don't want her to believe in her dreams. Be complacent. Settle. Be nothing. Do nothing. She makes it. She graduates from the academy. And her parents, well, they're there.
We're real proud of you, Judy.
Yeah, scared too.
Yes.
Really, it's a kind of a proud, scared combo. I mean, Zootopia, so far away, such a big city.
Guys, I've been working for this my whole life. We know, and we're just a little excited for you, but terrified.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And also bears. We have bears to fear, too. Say nothing of lions and wolves.
Wolves?
Weasels.
You play cribbage with a weasel?
Yeah, and he cheats like there's no tomorrow. You know what? Pretty much all predators, and Zootopia is full of them.
Oh, Stu.
And foxes are the worst.
Yeah, actually, your father does have a point there. It's in their biology. Remember what happened with Gideon Gray?
When I was 9, Gideon Gray was a jerk who happened to be a fox. I know plenty of bunnies who are jerks.
Sure. Yeah, we all do. Absolutely. But just in case, we've made you a little care package to take with you.
Okay. Just really quick, I know that's not Tim Conway.
It sounds just like him.
Yeah. That's who I thought it was when I first saw it. But just to clear the air, it is Don Lake.
And he does a great job.
He does an excellent job.
And I think that character is based on a Tim Conway.
It has to be.
You know,
it has to be.
That's exactly who he looks like and exactly who he sounds like. Okay, we want you to be Tim Conway here. Okay. I love that. You know, because she would say, hey, the Lord hasn't given us a spirit of fear. And then these type of Christians will say, well, except for this upcoming political season and this and terrorists and all these kinds of things. There's always an except. Right? Well, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Well, yes, I agree with that, except, right? Oh, that's fine and good. So, again, they have an us versus them style Christianity. Hey, it seems to be a very Western form of Christianity, or the way, or a following after Jesus. I could be wrong, but it just seems that way. God wants us to live happy little lives in our little burrows, in our bunny burrow here, and we have to fear all the things outside, and so we stay away from them, or we arm ourselves against them with weapons.
I just blame Gutenberg.
Okay, Brenda blames Gutenberg. The show is over. Oh, okay. But surely some people are going to point to one of my favorite passages in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12.
Hopefully in the right context.
Well, let's see. Out of the New Living Translation, the NILT, make it your goal to live a quiet life, Paul told the Thessalonians. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Hey, that's Mr. and Mrs. Hops.
Oh, they got it right.
So I'm wrong. I'm mischaracterizing them.
You certainly are.
Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. I like in the nearly King James Version. Boy, I stumbled all over that. In the nearly King James Version, I like how it says that you may walk properly toward those who are outside. Walk properly toward those who are outside. That doesn't sound like separation. Does that? Do you see that?
Well, if anything, it sounds like there's a hint of pursuance.
Ah, but let's get the context of this, at least some context. Let's back up in the Nearly King James Version, chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. Verse 3, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Oh, go back to the Future series that we did on Finding Christ in Cinema. That's a great story of sanctification.
What was that, part 3?
Yeah, well, the whole
series, but yes. Specifically part 3, yes.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also forewarned you and testified, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. What we see here is that in context, he's making a dichotomy. You want to talk about a dichotomy between the way that Christians are to live and how Gentiles live. And Gentiles, that is a noisy existence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So make it your goal to live a quiet life. Well, that's the opposite of the way that the Gentiles live. A raucous existence. This will help us get a little bit of a better picture of what I'm trying to get at. We can go many years later and another book over, to another book, the Ephesians, the letter of Ephesians, which is actually the letter to the Laodiceans and the Ephesians and
it was spread about.
And the Philippians, mm-hmm. Yes. Colossians, I'm sorry, because Colossians and Ephesians are basically the same book, but Ephesians is a little bit fatter. So here's a little bit of a lengthy reading, and I'm going to read, starting in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Let's read out of the Common English Bible. So I'm telling you this, Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, and I insist on it in the Lord. You shouldn't live your life like the Gentiles anymore. They base their lives on pointless thinking. And they are in the dark in their reasoning. They are disconnected from God's life because of their ignorance and their closed hearts. They are people who lack all sense of right and wrong and who have turned themselves over to doing whatever feels good and to practicing every sort of corruption along with greed. But you didn't learn that sort of thing from Christ. Since you really listened to him and you were taught how the truth is in Jesus, change the former way of life that was part of the person you once were, corrupted by deceitful desires. Instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit and clothe yourself with the new person created according to God's image in justice and true holiness. Therefore, after you have gotten rid of lying, each of you must tell the truth to your neighbor, because we are part of each other in the same body. Be angry without sinning. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Don't provide an opportunity for the adversary, the devil. Thieves should no longer steal. Instead, this is going back to my Thessalonians passage. Instead, they should go to work using their hands to do good so that they will have something to share with whoever is in need. Hmm. Boy, you talk about a golden rule.
Of course, go to work.
Don't let any... what about that? So that you'll have ample enough to share with whoever needs it.
Oh, but who needs it?
Anymore? Oh, wait a second. He didn't mean that for us. Don't let any foul words come out of your mouth. Only say what is helpful when it is needed for building up the community so that it benefits those who hear what you say.
Oh.
Ding, 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 ding.
More on that later.
Don't make the Holy Spirit of God unhappy. You were sealed by him for the day of redemption. Put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, and slander, along with every other evil. Be kind, compassionate, and forgiving to each other in the same way God forgave you in Christ. Therefore, imitate God like dearly loved children. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. Sexual immorality and any kind of impurity or greed shouldn't even be mentioned among you, which is right for holy persons. Obscene language, silly talk, or vulgar jokes aren't acceptable for believers. Instead, there should be thanksgiving, because you know for sure that persons who are sexually immoral, impure, or greedy, which happens when things become gods, those persons won't inherit the kingdom of Christ and God. Nobody should deceive you with stupid ideas. God's anger comes down on those who are disobedient because of this kind of thing. So you shouldn't have anything to do with them. With what? The people that do those things? No, the acts themselves. That's what he is saying there. You shouldn't have anything to do with these things that I just mentioned. Not the people. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what's pleasing to the Lord. And don't participate in the unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain persons do in secret, but everything exposed to the light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. There's a picture that he's painting of a cacophony of life that's in the lives of the Gentiles, unbelievers. And Christians are to live a quiet life, not a separate life, because how in the world can the light shine on these things, as he's telling the readers of this letter? How can they shine their light and reveal the truth if they are separated from it over in Bunnyboro? Because we can't go out where the foxes and the bears and the dangerous things are, the unsavory things. He's not telling us to separate ourselves from the people. He's telling us to separate ourselves from their actions. We don't do that. Why? Because we live a quiet life. Yeah, we notice. Right?
Now, Michael, you said test everything. That sounds risky. It just sounds too risky.
How can things be revealed by the light, Brendan, if the light is hidden in Bunnyboro?
Oh, Man. Light's got to get out.
How can it be? Okay. Judy leaves Bunnyboro to be Light. She's taken Paul's words to heart. But she is still being told to settle and be complacent. You know, we get the whole story of how she meets Nick the Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an
Unsavory character.
He is an unsavory character.
At first. More on that in just a moment.
Do you think Light can help?
I think
maybe a little bit of Light.
I think Light did help.
Oh. Okay. But when he is still, you know, he's still antagonistic and has her at arm's length, and he just tells her the way things are.
Tell me if this story sounds familiar. Naive little hick with good grades and big ideas decides, hey, look at me, I'm gonna move to Zootopia, where predators and prey live in harmony and sing kumbaya. Only to find, whoopsie, we don't all get along. And that dream of becoming a big city cop? Double whoopsie. She's a meter maid. And whoopsie number threesie, no one cares about her or her dreams. And soon enough, those dreams die, and our bunny sinks into emotional and literal squalor living in a box under a bridge, till finally she has no choice but to go back home with that cute, fuzzy, wuzzy little tail between her legs to become... You're from Bunnyboro, is that what you said? So how about a carrot farmer? That sound about right?
Those are heavy-duty words.
He read her mail.
Yes, naive little hick mm-hmm. with good grades and big ideas. Mm. Boy, that almost sounds like the kind of Christianity that I'm espousing, doesn't it? Oh. Doesn't it?
Mm.
Only to find that we don't all get along. You know what, Judy? Here's the facts.
Everyone comes to Zootopia thinking they can be anything they want. Well, you can't. You can only be what you are. Sly Fox, dumb bunny.
I am not a dumb bunny.
Right. And that's not wet cement.
Oh, Brendan, now we get a little bit of a look inside of Nick. Because here's the facts, little dumb bunny. You're a dumb bunny. I'm a sly fox. That's not good. That's that's an epithet, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a sly fox. You're a dumb bunny. I'm a sly fox. It is what it is what he's saying. A leopard can't change his spots. Well, now, if you're looking at this movie through political lenses, you know, and the scene where, you know, his fake little Fennec Fox, son, quote, son, wants to grow up to be an elephant. Mm-hmm. And she says, if you want to grow up and be an elephant, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. You know, that's not a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We're not talking about that. We are looking at this movie through Christian lenses. And if you want to go out and be Light, you can. Okay? That's a promise. You can. We don't all get along. A leopard can't change his spots. Put that light out, little dumb bunny. That's what he's saying to her. Settle and embrace complacence. No. Anyone cannot be whatever they want. You can't be Light. Isn't this what her parents taught her?
Mm.
You can't be Light, Judy. You have to stay here and settle and embrace complacency and plant carrots and stay away from the world. Oh. What's the difference between her Christian parents and this heathen fox? What's the difference? Well, we don't know her parents' backstory. I mean, we can guess. But what can we learn about this sly fox? Hey, I'm a sly fox. I am what I am. The world's told me that.
Oh, we can learn plenty from it. In fact, that's going to be my point.
Oh.
Brief little section. And I mean brief. Brief little section entitled, Judy's Words Are a Honeycomb, Sweet to the Soul, and Healing to Nick the Fox.
Oh.
Bet your dollar you can't guess what my key verse is.
I can't. I have no idea.
I'm going to find out today.
That's yes. What we all came here for, Brendan.
Nicholas P. Wilde is a sly fox. And at the beginning of the story, we... At the beginning of the story, it's hard to empathize with his character.
He's a hustler. Nobody likes a hustler.
He's a hustler. No. Yeah. It's called a hustle, honey.
Yeah.
You know. And then, you know, she ropes him in the same way. But
yeah. You got hustled, the little Fennec Fox.
Well, she got you. Oh, man. Yeah. But later on, we see Nick's backstory. And this is what endears us as the audience to him. It draws us closer to him. So the mystery of Zootopia, of the movie, not the city, but the movie, the story, has taken us to the Marlon Brando-ish...
My grandmama made you a cannoli. We broke bread together. And how do you repay me? A rug made from a skunk butt.
You disrespected
a skunk
me.
Butt rug.
I buried my grandma in that rug.
Say hello to grandmama. Awesome.
Great.
So we see that, and then that takes them to the driver of that limo.
That Black Panther.
That Black Panther. That was the driver of the limo that had Mr. Otterman.
Otterton.
Otterton, thank you. Sorry. That beheld Mr. Otterton. And then the Black Panther goes savage. So the chase goes on, and then finally Judy and Nick end up tied up together. The Black Panther's got away. Later on, we see where he went, and that takes us on. But however, I want to focus on this moment after this whole chase scene where Judy and Nick have this brief little moment to calm down, to deliberate with each other, to discuss things. And it gives Judy the opportunity to carry one of Nick's burdens.
Oh!
And I wouldn't say just any of his burdens, but I would say the burden that he has struggled to carry. Because he's felt like he's had to.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this first flashback clip.
Never let them see that they get to you.
So, things do get to you?
Not anymore, but I was small and emotionally unbalanced like you once.
Har har.
No, it's true. I think I was 8. Or maybe 9, and all I wanted to do was join the Junior Ranger Scouts. So my mom scraped together enough money to buy me a brand new uniform because, by God, I was going to fit in, even if I was the only predator in the troop, the only fox.
Okay, Nick.
I was going to be part of a pack.
Ready for initiation?
Yeah.
Pretty much born ready.
I was so proud.
Oh. See?
Oh, what? This is how things change when you start to hear somebody's story.
When you actually take time to listen, when you pursue.
Do you think
somebody's
that's what Jesus
story?
Was doing as he was eating with the tax collectors and sinners?
You know, I don't know. He
maybe getting to know them.
The guy had 12 disciples that followed him. You know, they were close enough to have the dust off his feet land on them for 3 years. I really don't see him investing anything in anybody. You know, that's just. Sorry, that is sarcasm.
That's sardonic.
that was heavy on the sardony.
Yes,
is that a?
I don't know. He was extremely sardonic. We'll settle on that.
I was not Jesus. I was.
Oh, okay.
And this is where I get the feels every time. This is where the feels come into play all the time with this film, with this particular scene. Like I said, this endearment that we have with Nicholas P. Wilde.
Okay, now raise your right paw and deliver the oath.
I, Nicholas Wilde, promise to be brave, loyal, helpful, and trustworthy.
Even though you're a fox?
What? No! No! What did I do wrong, you guys? No! Please tell me what did I do wrong! What did I do?
If you thought we would ever trust a fox without a muzzle, you're even dumber than you look.
Is he gonna cry?
I learned 2 things that day. 1, I was never going to let anyone see that they got to me.
And 2?
If the world's only going to see a fox as shifty and untrustworthy, there's no point in trying to be anything else.
Man.
The show is over.
Oh, gosh. What is wrong with being brave and loyal and helpful and trustworthy?
It's un-American. No.
Michael. There's that left-wing propaganda. What is wrong with those things? Nothing.
No, there's nothing that's wrong with it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Except these other junior Ranger Scouts believe that Nick cannot be those things.
So we're going to beat you up.
Simply because of his biology. Yep. So we're going to put a muzzle on you.
Yeah.
We're going to hold you down in some weirdly familiar hazing.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
We're going to humiliate you.
Yes. Yeah. And that breaks Nick.
It does.
And from that, like he says, I learned two things that day. And he's kept those lessons, those quote unquote lessons that he's learned from that day to this point where he's in this little, what is that thing? The car?
Gondola.
Thank you. The gondola. He's kept those lessons that he learned back then all the way to this point in the gondola with Judy Hopps.
With the canola.
Cannoli.
All the way to the cannoli.
With the traffic cams. Yep. He's carried this burden all the way to this point. But Judy's there with what, Michael? Any unwholesome talk? As we just heard you read. And as we focused on in Harry Potter and Deathly Hallows Part 2. And as we've mentioned a lot on this show.
Yeah.
Several episodes. I can't think of, you know, much more at the time, but they're there.
It's a running theme.
It is. Maybe it's a running theme because we constantly have to be reminded of it.
Yes.
Judy's there with gracious words that heal. Actually, let's listen to the clip, and then I'm going to deliberate just a little bit more on that.
Nick, you are so much more than that.
Boy, look at that traffic down there. How about we go out to Chuck in Traffic Central? Chuck, how are the things looking on the jam cams?
Nick, I'm glad you told me.
The jam cams.
Seriously, it's okay.
No. There are traffic cameras everywhere, all over the canopy.
Now here's what's just happened.
It's beautiful.
It is. And it gets more beautiful later on. But this is what happens right here. Judy gives him those gracious words. She says, Nick, you are so much more than that. And he's never been valued of anything until that moment. But what does he do? He goes back to his slick, wily, you know, tone. He tries to play a joke. But here's the thing about that. Oftentimes, when someone is the recipient of those gracious words, they don't know how to act because they haven't heard them in so long. He reverts back to his clever, wily self. What's a gracious word?
It's a diversionary tactic.
Yeah, it's an evasive. Yes.
Yeah, evasion and diversion. And hey, don't look over here. You know, nothing to see here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However,
well, he's vulnerable.
Yes. Yeah, he was very vulnerable. And he, at that moment, he didn't want to be vulnerable anymore. So he, like we said, he diverted back to his original ways. But we know the seed that Judy planted took root and grew because of the way the rest of the film pans out.
Yes. Yes.
Nick has been redeemed, has been healed through these gracious words.
Yeah.
And that's why it's simple, short and simple key text is Proverbs 16:24, this time out of the NIV.
All right.
I personally usually don't go for the NIV. That's just me, but I love the way this verse is put. Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Mm. To the bones. You want to think about a bone breaking? How obtruse, how sharp, how rigid that is. That's how Nick is up until this point. That's how a lot of people are. And we could probably all name at least 10. Use both hands.
Me?
Starting with ourselves.
Yeah.
We could all name people who are like that. However, what plants the seed that leads unto redemption? Michael, I don't even know why I didn't even think of this. What is it that leads to repentance?
Kindness.
Dadgummit.
Yep. Go back to Star Wars
episode. Plenty of them.
Yeah. Well, especially the
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Luke's kindness leads to the repentance of Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just there. It's there all over this character as Nick. And if we're going to go out and make disciples of all the nations as we've been commissioned to do.
That's a great commission, too.
It is. It's pretty great. Yeah. Man.
I mean, if we're going to put an adjective before it, I would use great. Just
any old adjective.
Yeah.
If we're going to do that, one way to start, actually, the first way to start is to actually pursue, which is what Michael's been saying this whole time.
Yes.
Pursue with kindness and graciousness.
What Judy is saying to Clyde or Nick is, you've got a lot of noise in your life. There's a lot of noise in your head, and the way that you're living is noisy, and it's cacophony or cacophony.
I've heard cacophony.
Okay, yeah. We'll say that then. And you don't want to live that way, and she's shining light on it. She's shining light on it by being, well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. We already read it out of the KEB, Common English Bible. Therefore, imitate God. Like dearly loved children, I do what my father does. Live your life with love, following the example of Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. He was a sacrificial offering that smelled sweet to God. Be that! That's how you be the light! And Judy knows it. Sometimes she gets sidetracked. We all get sidetracked. She gets sidetracked in this movie. And her and Nick have a falling out because she said something that she wasn't thinking and just said something that was hurtful and things like that. But she's still fighting with everybody trying to keep her from her mission,
mm-hmm.
from the mission that she's sent on by God, our missional God. In fact, she gets, backing up a little bit, and she gets involved in this case with Mr. Otterton because Mrs. Otterton comes in and is begging Chief Bogo, who's excellently portrayed by FCC's very own
Idris Elba.
Yes. And she's begging him for help, and he's not wanting to give any help. But Judy says, I'll do it. I will help. Why? Because it's the right thing to do, and I'm trying to be light in the world. And Chief Bogo, what are you thinking? And she said, I don't want to be a parking maid anymore.
I don't want to be a meter maid. I want to be a real cop.
Do you think the mayor asked what I wanted when he assigned you to me?
But, sir,
life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true. So let it go.
Oh, that's what I knew. This movie was perfect.
Yeah, which is great. But, I mean, there's a lot of it's a very funny yet profound piece of dialogue. So it's profound.
Mm-hmm.
Life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song like Kumbaya, what Nick said.
Or try anything.
And your insipid dreams magically come true. Insipid, definition, lacking flavor, lacking vigor or interest. Wow. Nobody cares about your little insipid dreams. They aren't magically coming true because this is real life. This is real life. It's not some magical thing that you'll read in the Bible and all this stuff and, oh, yeah, it was great for them. But this is the real world. Some Christians certainly agree with Chief Bogo. They agree with Nick Wilde, and they agree with Mr. and Mrs. Hopps. Life isn't some cartoon musical. Prey and predators will not live in harmony and sing kumbaya, and the world is indeed a scary place. So then, Jesus was wrong. Paul was beaten many times and died for nothing. The first century saints were persecuted and martyred for no good reason. And the gospel is insipid, impotent, and is no better than any religion or the lack thereof. But I got to tell you something. I don't believe that for a second.
Oh, good. Okay. You sounded pretty convicted there.
And neither does Judy Carrots Hops. She continues to shine that light. Even when she believes that she, not the message, but that she failed. And she goes back home. Well, she sees what the light has revealed.
Hey there, Jude. Jude the Dude. Remember that one? How we doing?
I'm fine. You are not fine. Your ears are droopy. Why did I think I could make a difference?
Because you're a trier. That's why.
You've always been a trier. Oh, I tried. And it made life so much worse for so many innocent predators.
Oh, not all of them, though. Speak of the devil, right on time.
Is that Gideon Gray?
Yep, it sure is. We work with him now.
He's our partner, and we never would have considered it had you not opened our minds.
That's right. I mean, Gid's turned into one of the top pastry chefs in the Tri-Boroughs.
That's really cool, you guys. Gideon Gray. I'll be darned.
Hey, Judy, I'd just like to say I'm sorry for the way I behaved in my youth. I had a lot of self-doubt, and it manifested itself in the form of unchecked rage and aggression. I was a major jerk.
Oh, I know a thing or two about being a jerk.
She says all I did was make life worse for predators. Not all of them, her parents say. Gideon Gray is our partner now. And we would never have considered it had you not opened our minds or shown us the light. Brendan, it reminds me of Jesus.
Oh, man.
Reminds me of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 out of the NILT, the New Living Translation. You are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, Judy, let your good deeds shine out for all to see. Why? So that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You are the salt of Bunnyboro, Judy. You are the light of Zootopia. And Judy tells us that in that same message of Jesus, but she puts it in different words.
When I was a kid, I thought Zootopia was this perfect place where everyone got along and anyone could be anything. Turns out, real life's a little bit more complicated than a slogan on a bumper sticker. Real life is messy. We all have limitations. We all make mistakes. Which means, hey, glass half full, we all have a lot in common. And the more we try to understand one another, the more exceptional each of us will be. But we have to try. So no matter what type of animal you are, from the biggest elephant to our first fox, I implore you, try. Try to make the world a better place. Look inside yourself and recognize that change starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with all of us.
Try to make the world a better place. What What a terrible left-wing propaganda message.
Oh, man.
Try to make the world a better place. How?
Well, not by keeping your distance because of someone's biology.
Yeah.
Or just the way they are.
Yeah.
Not by keeping your distance from them, but by
loving them.
Now, Michael, I can love from a distance, can I?
No, you cannot. Neither can you show kindness from a distance. Neither can you shine light on something from a distance.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, listeners. You cannot. And Jesus didn't tell us to do that. Why did Judy succeed? Why did she succeed? Why? Because this is a stupid little cartoon musical where, magical things happen and blah, blah, blah. And
you need to let it go?
No. Because of Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, continuing the tour of Galatians here on Finding Christ in Cinema, your key text out of the New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Oh, that means money, right? New car?
Well, yeah, that's because that's how we're blessed.
Yes.
If you're blessed, you have all those things, and if you're not blessed, well,
you're not a faithful Christian.
You don't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
No. mm-hmm. At the right time,
God has extended His grace, and we return the kindness through faithfulness.
We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And what harvest of blessing did Judy reap in the end? She has a partner. A platonic friend and partner. She invited him. She brought him into the kingdom. He was living a noisy life.
Would you even say discipled?
I would absolutely say that.
Oh.
But he helped her as well. Because that's a possibility, Brendan. We can receive good.
Mm-hmm.
From others, even if they are not yet part of the kingdom. There are benefits. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And Judy says, I won't. Oh, I may have slipped here and, said, I'm going back home because I ruined everything. But then she realized, no. I can go back and complete my mission of shining the light. And in it, she redeemed Nick Wilde.
Mm. I thought we'd give it up on Nick Wilde.
Well, we should have. That Gentile.
Kept my distance. That heathen.
Now look at him. And he's a benefit. And the kingdom is better off because he's in it. Wow. So let's not grow tired of doing what is good, fellow Christians. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. What a great film for teaching Christians a lesson. A lesson that we need to learn. What kind of Christian are we in this film? What kind are we? And what kind do we know that we should be? Questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
Just one quick little thing.
What's that?
I attribute it to the writing of this film. The story flow. We as the audience, after the beginning of the film, we give up on the parents.
Yeah,
Because we don't think they're going to change.
Right.
We give up on a lot of things in the film that we think aren't going to change. And, I think I know that's why that is so. Because the change isn't immediate. The change isn't instant. The change happens over time. And sometimes, I'm not going to say all the time, but sometimes, to put it like this, we won't see the fruit of the seeds that we sow. But what does Paul say to the Galatians? So let's not get tired of doing what is good. And then at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Oh, and somebody calling and leaving a message on the machine over there. This is a great film for Christians. We hope that you were able to benefit something from what we talked about today. What Christian themes did you find in Zootopia? Disney's left-wing police state propaganda film, Zootopia. You know, we'll give you all the ways to contact us in just a few moments. But, Brendan, do we have any... feedback? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
In fact, we have feedback from a listener that we have never heard from before, and that's always a point of celebration.
It's refreshing.
Yes. Melissa Kay left a comment on Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That's Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 104. You can find that at christincinema.com.
She says, "Hey guys, I can't tell you how happy I was to see your show pop up in my podcast list last week. I have missed you.
Oh,
I started listening after Fletch over at Homeschooling IRL recommended you way back when."
Nice. Yes, Fletch and Kendra over at homeschoolingirl.com, Homeschooling in Real Life. Great show over there. And we love our fellow homeschool. Well, you're a public school person. We homeschool in this family, though.
Well, Lisa.
Okay.
"I was terribly sad," she continues, "when you announced the end of FCC, but I took some comfort in knowing that there would be another show coming soon."
Yeah.
Do you hear that, Michael?
I do. Yeah, there's a, yep.
As much as I am looking forward to the Tolkien show, I must admit that I am torn. Oh. I really enjoy listening to your insights and opinions on movies. The camaraderie and the bantering makes me smile. Just, Michael, did you hear that?
Which part?
Oh,
which word?
The camaraderie.
Yes.
And the bantering makes her smile.
Aww.
Just make sure you heard that.
I did.
Just know that I will be out here listening and loving every minute of it. God bless. It shouldn't be that funny, but it is. Melissa Kay in Colorado. Thank you, Melissa.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time to communicate with us. That's what we love.
Yes.
It's your show, and wow, to know that you've been listening for quite a long time, and this is the first time that you communicate with us. Keep it coming. We want to hear more from you. And again, thank you so much, and thank you to Fletch and his lovely wife for mentioning us on their show. We also, where are we going to go? As we are wont to do.
Paul! Who goes there? It is I.
Hey, Scott! Nope. It's patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to, where's he going to take us?
"Life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true."
Well, no, life isn't, but patron Saint Philip... His comments always are.
Again.
My magical dreams come true.
Again, from FCC 104, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yes.
"Hey guys, another fun episode. I love the Harry Potter books and films, and you're making me think it's about time to rewatch and listen to the audiobooks again."
Absolutely.
"These are dark times."
Yeah.
"There's no denying it. I do prefer to watch Harry Potter in the winter time, or what passes for winter on the Texas Gulf Coast. It just seems better." You know, and I thought about that when I read that, Philip, sidebar, and I think it's because we like to see a lot of the winter scenes while at school at Hogwarts.
I just think everything's better in autumn and winter.
Well, that's true. I agree with you.
Okay.
So no schism here.
Oh, right.
"A good theme from the series is Neville's character
arc." Amen.
"He begins as dismissed, ridiculed, and bullied by classmates."
Oh, much like Nick Wilde?
Oh, I thought we'd given up on him.
Don't give up on Neville.
Nope. "By the conclusion of the series, he has progressed to full-blown hero who kills perhaps the most lethal Horcrux." Mm-hmm. "It calls to mind how in the Bible, God frequently used underestimated people like the shepherd boy David to carry out his plans."
Amen.
"Like so many themes in the Bible, this is repeated frequently."
Yes.
"Which we need to get through our thick skulls, that we don't need to have Brad Pitt's looks or Rockefeller money to be of service to God." Where did that come from? That came from the heart, I can tell you right now.
Yeah, and that just ties right in with my key text for the day.
For real.
So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
Getting back to the feedback, "We just need to trust and have faithfulness in him.
Yes. We just need trust and faithfulness in him.
We just need to... Oh, there's no two. I'm sorry. I added that. We just need to trust and faith in him.
Faithing. Yes.
Yes. It is an infinitive verb. As for Jorge Garcia, I also saw him on a short-lived show called Alcatraz, which was canceled after the first season. It left on a huge cliffhanger, but I still think it's worth checking out. Sam Neill also starred in it, and I thought they had a good thing going, especially with Jorge Garcia's character. Here's a link to the Fan TV, a cool site that lets you search for a film or TV show to see wherever it's available for streaming.
And there's a link in that in the show notes.
Thanks for the show, guys. Hashtag
MoviLad Gimlet! 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 I changed it.
There was a delay on that echo?
Yeah.
A slight delay?
I changed it.
You did something.
I made it more magical and insipid.
Okay. I don't...
Unflavorful.
You keep using that word.
I'm going to just use it. I'm going to abuse it. Yeah, I don't think that means what you think.
And then... Oh, and look where else we get to go, Michael.
Oh, we get to finally... Oh, where are we going? It's...
Potatoes.
Oh, Ron Potatoes and his... magical mushroom.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
His magical treehouse of doom.
Gideon Gray.
Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
Ron's very happy because he got some internet service. You know, he's a country boy, old Ron of the Red Oaks.
And it's a Red Oak Forest.
Oh, yeah. And so he sent me a text the other day. It says, great show. Just listened. I'm using the Overcast app more and more due to issues with the iTunes podcast app. They carry Finding Christ in Cinema, too. Have a pleasant evening. And just to let everybody know, anywhere where podcasts are served, you know, aggregators, so you have obviously the iTunes app, Downcast is what I had been using, but I just had to switch because it's not behaving well. But anyway, for me, your mileage may vary. Overcast, Downcast, there's all kinds of podcast apps and things that you could put on your mobile devices, and they all pull from iTunes, almost exclusively they pull from iTunes, so... we are available everywhere. So thank you, Ron. Next time, spend some time and give us a little... Call, Ron. We're looking for you. We want to hear from you.
It's a trap.
No. It's not a trap. Don't listen to him. It's not a trap.
No, it's not a trap.
No more feedback other than that, but we will give you the links once again here coming up shortly on how you, too, can contact Brendan.
Well-mannered... frivolity.
What's going on?
Oh, Michael, this is my first week as an educational assistant at Aiken Elementary School.
Will there be a second?
I hope so. Man.
Well, but so what's going on?
I start off the morning with the kindergartners.
Uh-huh.
Woo.
trying to herd cats?
Oh, man. Now, yesterday, okay, the way they did it was half the class, just for the kindergartners, half the kindergartners came yesterday. The second half came today. All of them will be there tomorrow. So it was like 9, 9, and then all 18 for my class will be all there together. Yesterday was cool, pleasant. Today there was a boy named Pedro. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a song.
A boy named Pedro?
Yeah.
I don't think it was written about him.
Jim Croce did that.
Oh, more on him later.
Oh, okay.
And then, you know, I start off with breakfast with them in the morning, and then about 9:30, from 9:30 to 11:30, I switch between like four different teachers just to see if they need anything.
Yeah.
How I can help them in any certain way. Then I got an hour of cafeteria duty, and you can believe me, I keep that lunch line straight. Keep the lunch line straight. Yes, sir. And then I just close out with the kindergartners again.
Wonderful.
It's not full swing completely just yet. It will be. I say we won't get into our routine until after the fall break, which will be the horse show week. Which Shelby Villains, y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody
Tennessee
outside?
Tennessee walking horse capital of the universe.
Whew, we dedicate a whole 10 days to that event.
Yeah. Hey, I want donuts this time.
Thank you for reminding me.
Okay.
I will bring some.
All right.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking forward to. What else are you doing?
Well, if you follow me on Facebook, I posted a nice little picture of my Amazon wish list back to school fulfillment.
Yes.
And I picked up, well, I'll just say what three books I got mainly.
Okay.
One was Shakespeare on the Go, which was written by, well, not written by Shakespeare, obviously, but it was formed together and molded together by the directing professor I had back at Regent.
That's shocking.
I know. Dr. Gillette Elfgren Jr.
Uh-huh.
And it's Shakespeare that has been truncated into either 45 minutes to an hour performance, and it's meant for youth performers.
Wow. Okay.
So, and with the book,
like an introduction to Shakespeare?
Well, kind of, but it actually tells the whole, like it comes with four plays. There's Romeo and Juliet, uh-huh. There's The Tempest, Macbeth, and A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Great Scott.
And they've all...
This is heavy.
I know, this is heavy. But heavy it's actually a pretty light book.
Okay.
It's actually all four truncated scripts
uh-huh.
meant for youth performances and youth audiences. So I had to nab that up.
Cool.
Then, of course, I got Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes.
Yeah.
Physical copy
so,
now.
Yeah, so you can highlight and...
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And then I got another book that I haven't started just yet, but I've always been interested in it because Dr. Richard Beck from Abilene Christian University.
And Experimental Theology.
Theology, the blog. I was about to get to that, yes.
Oh.
He put out a book called Reviving Old Scratch.
What is that about? Money?
No.
Oh.
Well, Old Scratch is a colloquial term for the devil.
That's what
us good Southern boys call the devil.
Okay.
Old Scratch. You'd be smelling sulfur from a mile away.
All right.
So.
Have you started on it yet?
Not yet, I haven't.
Huh.
But I got it because the appeal of it was interesting to me. It seemed almost like in a C.S. Lewis type thing. It's not a work of fiction. This is all like his opinion, his research, and his study. But I like the way he writes on his blog. And I love the way he sold it, so I had to get it.
Wow.
So we'll hopefully find out more on that later on.
Okay, yeah. I'm looking forward to hearing updates on that during our well-mannered frivolity segment. My oldest daughter, who graduated from high school.
Buggy. Right?
Yes, the bug. one of her gifts was her grandma bought her a plane ticket.
She got her grandma?
Out to California. So she went out there for 2 weeks, and this is crazy because my daughter has never gone anywhere without us like that. And so she's never flown on her own and things like that. So on the day that she flew out, I had to get up at 2:30 in the morning and because we had to be to the airport early.
Got to be there at B&A. Yep,
got there, and they wouldn't let me go with her through all the way to the gate.
Yeah.
And so I went up as far as I could and so, okay, now from here, all you got to do is boom, boom, boom. It's a straight line. Okay. So she gets there and she's there for a couple of weeks. Well, I go and pick her up the other night and I'm super excited. Everybody, you know, in the house was just missing Haley, you know? So anyway, I have to go pick her up at 11:40 and I time it so that I can get there, you know, 10 minutes ahead of time, you know, before I need to walk in and meet her at the gate. I get there, and so at B&A, the Nashville airport, so it takes an hour for me to get there, first of all. Then I get there, and I pull into the short-term parking lot, get the first ticket. You get a ticket, then you go through, and then you find where you're going to go, and then you have to put your ticket in this machine, I guess, so it could stamp it at that time, whatever, you know, here's right now. Wouldn't take my ticket. Okay? So I try it again. Wouldn't take it. So I back up. There's three stalls. And I go into another stall. Wouldn't take my ticket. Wouldn't take my ticket. So I push the button and call. Who knows where I'm calling? Hey.
Not you.
I can't. This thing will not take my ticket. No, you have to put it in with the strike. I can see the instructions here. And I'm putting it in the correct way. It's not working. Well, it should work. Well, okay. I agree. I agree that it should work.
I am not disagreeing yes. with you.
And so, okay, well, I'll be right there. And I'm sitting there for minutes.
Thank you.
Minutes. And then, so I go, well, there's a third stall. Let me try that one. Pull over there. Nope, won't take that. Won't take that. And more minutes go by. And I need to pick up my daughter. I need to get in the airport. I just want to park. Let me park my car, you know, do something. And so I call again and get some other guy. Well, you got to make sure you put it in right now.
Okay, make those strips all the
it's not working. I need to get in the airport. And what was I didn't even know what I could do at that point. I'm totally locked in this place. It's 11:30 at night. Well, it was actually 11:40 when I was you know, trying to, anyway, regardless. That's my kind of luck. Finally, a guy shows up, and he has to manually open up. Oh, you got a bad ticket. I know that. That's what
I know.
Oh, man. So I thought that that would be, people can have a nice laugh at my expense. Oh. As, oh, and other cars are coming through.
Of course.
Their tickets in and all kinds, you know, sitting, one car's sitting behind me, you know, waiting. What's this ding dong doing? You know,
and then he'll start yelling out the car, you got to put it in with the strip.
Yeah. Right side facing up.
And he's like, I know.
The lightning round. Hey. Want everybody to know this. Our brothers in Texas.
Thank you.
The Theonauts are doing a special episode called Ask the Theonauts.
Oh, I wasn't ready for that one.
No, that's just me.
Oh,
because
okay,
I made
okay.
that up.
This is
my baby.
Oh, that's right.
I'm taking credit for this whole thing.
Right.
But anyway, they are doing a special episode of Ask the Theonauts. I'm not quite sure. Do they have it slated to what episode they're going to be doing? I didn't read that anywhere where they were posting. And
all I know, I did see an update from Jeremiah on the Book of Faces saying that they were asking.
Yeah, so
for
they're still collecting topics. So if you have any questions, any Bible questions, there's no better place to get an answer than the Theonauts! So we encourage you to get over to their website at theonautspodcast.com and find all the different ways of contacting them over there. Or, you know, you should be following them on Facebook and Twitter anyway. And you can submit your questions. Get your question answered on the special episode of Ask the Theonauts. Now I have to edit that. You stepped on my...
Sorry, I thought I couldn't tell which one you're going to.
Did you hear that, Jeremiah and David? Well, Jeremiah didn't. But David, did you hear that? What do you got?
Just a quick little YouTube pick. You like Jim Croce? I hope you do.
I could save time in a bottle.
Yeah, he's got that one.
That was on the Muppets.
Oh, that's the only reason why you know that? just a quick little video. It's from a TV show.
Yes.
The Helen Reddy Show. He's got just a couple songs and a couple stories in between them. And I love listening to this guy speak. I love listening to him perform. And I didn't know this is in the clip, but she introduces him as someone, you know, before he became a multi-successful platinum recording artist, whatever, he was a special ed teacher.
Well.
And to me, that speaks just a little bit more to his character.
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Check out the video. The two songs are I Got a Name and Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
Yeah.
You know, Southside Old Chicago in the baddest part of town.
Awesome.
Just check it out. Link in the show notes.
All right. Brendan, what is coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Well, since we're in the habit of finishing up series that we started.
Well, we just need to do
we
it.
Just need,
it's
yeah.
just proper protocol.
Yeah. We're going to finish up the Hunger Games series.
Yes.
And we're going to finish it up with Mockingjay Part 2.
But that's a good one to finish on, I would say.
I think so.
The last movie? I think that's where series should end.
Yeah.
On the last movie. And then what after that? Well, there, nothing good is coming out.
Well, nothing good's coming out.
So we're dipping into the archives?
Michael.
Huh.
I know you've been waiting for this one for a long time.
One of my favorite movies?
We're going to Gladiator.
Ridley Scott, baby. Russell Crowe. FCC's very own.
Russell Crowe. I loved him in Noah.
So, you can catch that and any other movies that we talk about here on Finding Christ in Cinema. We're live in the studio here each Thursday. Now you got me all messed up. Thursday, Lord willing, at around 4 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now,
witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
digital ministry, including all 105 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday movie review, and links to our social media profiles. Visit our website at christincinema.com. Send all email to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
That's shocking.
Or in honor of Backwards Day, that's NTCG 704-705.
Backwards Day?
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
I agree. You should stop doing that.
Now, let's say you just want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do!
We can go to iTunes.
Yes.
We can go to Stitcher.
Okay.
And we go to TuneIn Radio. But if you don't like those three wombats...
No, who likes those? I like them.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
You can go to Google Play Music and search them all. Not for talking in tongues.
No. I don't even know where that is.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
But for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Hey, Scott!
Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas,
the Theonauts,
which you can ask some questions, go to gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
You know, Spock actually has three ears.
These are dark times.
He's got the left ear, the right ear, and the final front ear.
Life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true.
And that is a wrap.
Isn't that some cute technology like the Iron Man suit?
Martha. I like to whisper, too.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Cotton-headed ninny muggins.
You gotta keep regular if you want to be happy.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission.
At GCTNetwork.com.
And Grandmama, she made you a cannoli.
And how do you repay me? With a rug made from a skunk butt. A skunk butt rug.
I buried Grandmama in that.
Then he says, I buried Grandma in that.
I buried Grandma in that rug.
Yeah, I buried Grandmama in that. And we broke bread together.
He made me an offer I couldn't refuse.
Yeah.
Money.
Money. Oh, okay. Just call us the Olympics because we're playing soccer.
In dirty water.
What?
Skunk butt water.
Skunk butt water.
Did he really say that?